It's 2021, more like, and therefore we need to find out what's going to happen tech-wise this year. If one man can deliver that, it must be the gadget detective Fevzi Turkalp. Hello, Fevzi.
Afternoon, Bill.
Delighted to have you with us. Before we get into your crystal ball gazing, let's start with tech tips for video calling. Why did you want to start with that one today?
Well, because it's something that we've all been subjected to and subjected each other to is our attempts to do video calling. And sometimes it goes more smoothly than others. Mm. And particularly because now some of us are having to work from home. It says something about you, how good your video call looks. So I just wanted to give some people some basic tips. So the first thing is, there are many different pieces of software that can do this. So we have Zoom, we have Skype, we have WhatsApp, we have FaceTime, etc., Messenger. The thing is, in choosing this, you need to think about who you need to speak to and what they've already got on their systems, what they're already used to using. It may be that you have to install and get used to using more than one of these things. I mean, we had a problem at Christmas trying to link up with our family. Some people had Apple devices and could use FaceTime and preferred that, but didn't have Zoom installed. Someone's Skype account wasn't working. And, you know, to try and get one platform working uniformly across a group of disparate people, it's not always easy. So the next thing is to say, plan these things. If you're going to, you know, have an important call, maybe even just do a test beforehand, you
right,
know, just a,
yes,
a little test dial, yes. make sure it's good. FaceTime is great, but it only works for Apple users. Also, think about what's in the background. You know, we set up shots and we just think about us, but we don't often think about what's visible in the background. And some cameras are quite sharp and can read the text on files. You know, the one that says tax evasion or something like that. Just don't yes. have or even certain people that shouldn't be in your house, for example. Yeah, you know, yeah. don't have them in shots. So there is the alternative that Zoom and some of the others provide for a digital picture as your background, so you can have a stately library or appear to be in the White House or whatever you want to do. They're not always great because the junction between you and the background is often sort of shown to be
phony,
artificial.
Yes,
yeah, sure, yeah. It sort of doesn't do it very well. I mean, if you wanted to be really clever about it, you'd put up what's called a green screen and key it professionally. But and if you're a business user, that is something you might consider doing, because again, it makes you look rather professional. The other thing that we'll find is that when most of us sort of dust down our laptops, after not having used them for a long time, we may find that actually the device is a bit slow, and the camera has the optical qualities of a potato, because some of these laptops have got really poor quality cameras built into them. Top tip: your phone or your tablet may actually be better, and you may just need to get a stand for it, and it may do a better job of things. I think the other thing is that tablets and smartphones, for some people, some elderly people, but not only some elderly people, can be a little bit complicated. Mm. And there is a class of device which are these sort of all-in-one hub units, which they look like a tablet, but with a built-in stand and decent speakers built in. So one example of that is from Google. It's called the Nest Hub Max. It's got a 10-inch, large 10-inch touchscreen on it. It's got great microphones on it, because they're designed, unlike a tablet, it's designed for this sort of thing. So the microphones are a bit like an Amazon Echo type unit. The microphones are designed to hear your voice at quality from a distance. And equally, instead of having thin little speakers, it's got decent speakers built into it as well. It also has got things like built-in YouTube with obviously owned by Google, but all of this can be controlled by voice as well, and you don't need to have a Bluetooth speaker because the speakers are integrated. There's no need for a stand because that's all built in, and it costs, I think the list price on it is about £219, but I've seen it recently for £169, which I think is a fair deal. And the camera is not just like a webcam that's active when you want to make a call. It's what they call a Nest Cam, and a Nest Cam is like a home security camera, and it's one that can, if you want it to, remain live all the time. And the reason why that might be quite useful is, let's say you've given this device to a member of your family who's not very tech savvy. Maybe it's a vulnerable member, maybe an older member of your family living alone, something like that. You can use the Nest Cam with their consent to drop in on them, both to see that they're okay, that there hasn't been an accident, and also to initiate a call. You can literally drop in on them, like, instead of just ringing the doorbell and dropping in, you're virtually dropping in, and you pop up on the screen and they can accept your call. And that's a lot easier for some people than having to initiate a call or go through a rigmarole. So there's a lot to it. I've given it 4 stars out of 5. Just one more tip. If you are doing a video call, make sure your camera is at something approaching eye level, not looking up your nostrils. Because it's not a great look. The problem is a lot of people using the webcam at the top of their laptop screen, and the laptop is tilted upwards from a surface below them, and it's literally looking up their nose. Mm.
It's not flattering, quite right. Yeah. You still see some people on television, and they're not looking at the right bit of their equipment, and their eyes are just slightly off the whole time.
And it really stops
you taking in what they're saying, doesn't it?
Yeah, and the problem is this, and it's not really their fault. The camera is either to one left or the right of the screen, or above or below it. Now,
it's not intuitive ideally, where they should be looking, in other words.
No, not at all, because you're seeing the other person.
You're looking straight.
Yeah. In fact, if you notice, when you do a television contribution, a lot of the time they deliberately don't send you their video feedback, so you're not looking at the screen. Mm. So you don't always have to see them. But in the future, they will work out how to put the camera behind the middle of the screen. But at the moment, they can't, so it has to be at the edge. I'll give you one tip in the meantime. Most of us, we use our devices in landscape mode. That's to say, you know, where the screen is wider than it is tall, in that orientation. Uh-huh. When you do that, almost depending on your device, if it's an iPad or a tablet, that will mean the camera is to the left or right, which means that problem, what they call a parallax problem of, you know, you're not looking at the point, becomes exacerbated. If you turn it up so that the camera is above the screen, yes, you're looking slightly up, but that's far less noticeable than looking to the left or right. If you just turn it so it's up, and have it at the top again, because if you have it at the bottom, it's looking up your nose. So have it at the top, more or less at eye level, and then even if you glance down. And the other thing is, the closer the screen is to your face, the more noticeable that effect is.
Yes.
Yeah.
The bigger the angle. All great advice. The only other thing I would say is, let's not encourage people to have these fake backdrops, because how much fun is it to see people's bookshelves and see what books they have or haven't got, and whether they're very neat or whether they've got far too many books stuffed in and all the rest of it. I love the backgrounds.
But you don't think that people spend some time in putting certain books there?
Oh, definitely. Well, there have been cases of authors whose own books, strangely enough, are not only in the best position behind them, but not the spine. They've been turned sort of full face on. How did that happen? Amazing.
Yeah. Yes.
Thank you for all of that, Fevzi. There's part one. Crystal ball gazing of a technical kind in part two. Bill Buckley here, 12:18, halfway through our chat with the gadget detective Fevzi Terkalp, and how we move on to his look ahead tech-wise for 2021. Where do you want to start?
Robotics and artificial intelligence. I sent you a link a little earlier. I don't know if you actually had a chance to view it, but it's if anyone wants to go onto YouTube and type the words Boston Dynamics and the and then the words Do You Love Me?
I didn't catch that. I'm afraid. Where is that on?
I sent it rather late, so it's about halfway down. But if you just go into YouTube, Google the words or search the words.
Shall I do it now with the sound turned off in the studio?
Yeah. Okay, just have a look at it, because it'd be quite amazing. So one goes to YouTube, type the words Boston Dynamics, which is the name of the robotics company.
Dynamics. Yeah.
And then the song title, Do You Love Me? The Berry Gordy thing, I think.
Do you love me? Right, okay, I'm doing it now. Carry on.
Okay, so this, Boston Dynamics, their videos crop up on YouTube from time to time. They're a robotics company. They were American, actually. They've just been bought by Hyundai, which is interesting. It reminds me of what happened as the British Empire was on the down, and we ended up selling a lot of our artificial intelligence companies and so forth. And now it even seems that Americans are having to sell their companies to the Eastern companies. And This company makes these robots, and they're quite amazing. And now they've got these robots dancing. And on the one hand, it's very entertaining.
I'm watching him now, by the way, and I can't believe that's not a person in a skin, because it's so realistic.
And it's not CGI either, because a lot of people said, oh, that's just, you know, computer-generated graphics. No, it's not. That's a robot dancing.
That's amazing. Yeah.
And then it will be two and three and four robots dancing, you'll see in a moment.
Right.
And that's all very entertaining. But these things, I mean, those two-legged robots, those humanoid robots, are known as Atlas robots. And they are rather strong, like Charles Atlas, the name might suggest. Those are the same robots that will be used in warfare. Those are the same robots that will be used for policing and crowd control. The robot dog that you see there has already been used during the COVID crisis to encourage people in public places to keep a safe distance from each other. So yeah. We're now already at a place where we're taking directions from robots in public places. And entertaining though this is, you know, some people will say how cute, and other people will be shouting Skynet at this, because this is the future. And various experts have said that artificial intelligence and robotics actually poses an existential threat to humanity. And some scientists, Professor Hawking, for example, Stephen Hawking, actually said that we should get off the planet and run. That would be our best chance, because there's nothing that you can. There's a team of scientists at MIT in America, Massachusetts Institute of Technology, and their whole project is to try and work out what we can program into the current generation of AI, which would mean that the subsequent generations that they will create themselves do not try and kill us. And you know, in science fiction, you have Asimov's law, you know, four laws of robotics and all this, you know, you will not harm a human, you will not allow by your inaction a human to be harmed, all that sort of thing doesn't work. Mm-hmm. And in the future that these AIs may harm us. And it is interesting that there are a number of countries that have been trying to get a moratorium on the use of robotics and artificial intelligence in warfare. And countries like America have been blocking that. And we can see that the future of warfare will be these. And bear in mind, what often ends a war is the number of body bags coming home. Mm-hmm. You think about what happened in Vietnam and so forth. But when those are machines, then it will just be down to who has the best technology will win those wars. This is worrying. We need artificial intelligence is a great thing, but we need to develop it in a way that allows us to retain control of it, and I'm not even sure that that's possible.
Very interesting, very thought provoking. In the meantime, just enjoy. Go to Boston Dynamics on YouTube and just enjoy the robots, the sort of dog thing, although he's got like a snake's neck really, and then this fabulous bird with wheels for feet, marvellous.
Yeah. So the dog thing is called Spot, and that elongated neck can be removed. It's a sort of optional add-on. Right. Spot, you can actually buy a Spot. That one's on sale.
The How Atlas robots are not.
I don't know. They're not cheap, and they only run for about 90 minutes on the battery. So their bid for world domination isn't quite there yet. But all the makings of it are there. You can see that. I don't know if we've got time to mention this, but also augmented reality. Do we have?
Yeah, we've got about another two to two and a half minutes. So the floor is yours. Whatever you think is most important.
So augmented reality is going to be a big deal going forward. So that's not to be confused with virtual reality. So virtual reality is where you put on the goggles and they block out the outside world, and the computer generates images and sounds for you, and as a replacement for the outside world. Augmented reality is something different, and it's something that many companies are working on, including Apple. They're building it into their iPhones and iPads, but also Apple are working on a pair of glasses. May come out this year, may come out next year, more likely, I suspect. With the glasses, you can have prescription glasses. They look more or less like normal glasses. You can wear them and walk down the street with them and have your vision corrected and see the real world. But in addition to the real world, you have a layer of information layered on that, if you like, projected onto the lenses. It's a bit like, you know, how fighter pilots have heads-up displays where don't have to look down at their dials when they're looking through the cockpit glass. They can see their instruments. Imagine now you can watch a movie, you can read your emails and text messages when you're driving, and you've got sat nav running. You don't have to look down at sat nav; it's projected onto the glass. The possibilities are endless. You put a camera in one, you go into a group of people, you don't recognize the person. The AI camera recognizes them and gives you a short biography and when you last spoke to them and who they are.
Who wouldn't want that at a party? That is fabulous.
Yeah, you walk down the road and a little offer pops up. You walk past a coffee shop, it recognises it's you. It realises you haven't been in for 3 months and offers you a free cup of coffee as you come through. And a little arrow appears and guides you in. You're in a department store, you can't find your way. Arrows appear virtually on the ground, directing you to where you need to go. I mean, this is a whole new world. Our reality is augmented. That's what it means, augmented reality. And that is coming. And it's built into, you might have seen an IKEA app on your smartphone where you hold your smartphone up in your living room and it shows you your living room, but then it shows you a piece of IKEA furniture virtually placed in your living room and you walk around it. The only thing you can't do is sit on it yet, but you walk around it and see how that furniture will look in situ.
I like the way you say yet. Now.
yeah, that will happen as well.
If there's plenty more to say about what's coming, we can always do that next week, Fevzi, but we'll have to leave it there for now. That was absolutely fascinating as ever. Thank you so much. Have a good week. Fevzi Turkalp is the gadget detective.